explained it to him. He said, nobody's doing that. Why aren't you doing that? And I was like, I think I just figured out what I'm doing. Like, it just like kind of came to me in that conversation. And then I started taking those steps and moving forward with that. I also think that had a lot to do with why we were able to grow so fast. I have a team now. There's four of us full time, plus some independent contractors as well. And I think that happened because we were so specific about our offering. We do these specific things. And it really resonated with business owners who, you know, they know they need to have that book in hand. They know that will help them build their brand. They know that going out and speaking helps them land clients, but they don't have the time to do the speaking event applications or the research. They might even have a team, but everyone's busy, right?
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm and real. If you're tired of spammy DMs and the generic LinkedIn messages that go nowhere, Ninja Prospecting flips the script. They help coaches, consultants, and service-based business owners spark real conversations through strategic, human-first outreach. No bots, no fluff, just honest, data-backed messaging that sounds like you and actually gets replies. Talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Whether you want to do it yourself, get guidance, or fully hand it off, they've got you covered. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com and schedule a chat with Adam. Be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans Podcast. If you're ready to get started, join their free community at school.skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704 to maximize your connections and make the right new ones. Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 122, we're joined by Kelly Shuknecht, a seasoned marketing strategist and thought leadership expert with nearly two decades of experience helping entrepreneurs and professionals elevate their brands. Kelly is the founder of 2 Mile High Marketing, where she specializes in fractional marketing and thought leadership development, helping clients refine their message, grow their visibility, and share their expertise in powerful ways. Today, she works closely with thought leaders to amplify their stories through books, speaking opportunities, and strategic content that drives real impact. She is also the host of the Beyond the Bestseller podcast, where she empowers women to share their stories and build thriving platforms. From navigating the challenges of leadership and motherhood to advocating for remote work and authentic visibility, Kelly brings warmth, wisdom, and practical insight to everything she does. You're in for an inspiring conversation full of actionable strategies and encouragement for anybody ready to elevate their voice and influence. Welcome, Kelly, to the Business Superfans Podcast. We're excited to have you join us, Kelly. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Freddie. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's go back to the beginning. And what's the backstory? How did you get started dealing with what you got, 2 Mile High Marketing? And where did that come about? And what's the whole story? Give us the goods.
I love telling my story. So thank you for letting me start with that. I started my business just last year, so it's still a fairly new business, but I was able to grow it pretty quickly because I kind of built it on 20 years of experience prior to starting the company. I actually started my career in publishing. I ran a publishing company for 10 years, and left that, went into marketing, and my company was acquired. So after 7-8 years, it was acquired, and wasn't a big surprise that the bigger firm decided to get rid of the smaller firm's marketing department.
Shocker.
Yes. So it was something I saw coming. The second that I heard that we were merging or being acquired, I knew that I probably needed to start thinking about what that next step was going to look like for me. And I was fortunate. I had a couple of years before they made those cuts. But during those 2 years, I really started thinking about this company and dreaming about it. I started my website. I had the name of the company. I was kind of just ready to go, right? I had done my homework. I named my business 2 Mile High Marketing. And Freddie, before we started recording, I was telling you where I live. I live up in the mountains in Colorado. So people know Denver as the Mile High City. Where I live is 2 miles high. And so that was the inspiration for the name of my business, 2 Mile High Marketing.
Cool.
Yeah. It also just really goes well with the theme of my business. So when I did get laid off, I decided to really lean into the skill set I had developed over the 20 years before that. So I mentioned working in publishing. I worked in marketing for 7-8 years, like I said, but my marketing job was very specifically thought leadership type marketing. I had subject matter experts within the company that I was working to get speaking engagements for them. My team was helping them write books. We were using that book as a marketing tool. We had our own podcast. All of those things that we were doing, I decided, you know what? I really enjoyed that part of my job, and I want to turn that into a service offering I can do with clients. So that was kind of how 2 Mile High Marketing came about and why we focus specifically on that thought leadership type marketing that we do.
Oh, what an amazing story. I can relate because I've gone through a couple acquisitions, and it doesn't matter how good you are. You're part of the acquired team, not part of the acquiring team. And the acquirees always lose out. Doesn't matter. So I can relate to that. And that happened several times in the SaaS space for me. But you got a really cool approach here because you really kind of got a unique vertical that you're working with. So you're not really a traditional marketing agency building websites and all that stuff. You're really dealing with thought leaders to really help develop their brand and messaging. And you go to the point where you help them with the speaking and also ghostwriting aspects. So that's a very unique niche that you've carved out for yourself.
Yeah. So early on, the first few weeks after I lost my job, I was talking to a lot of people and trying to figure out, I've been dreaming about the company, but thinking about things and actually doing things, two different things, right? And so when it came time to actually say, okay, what am I saying I'm doing? What am I putting on my website? You know, all of that. I was talking to a lot of people, and I had a friend who said to me, you probably don't really know what you want to do yet. And I don't know why in that moment I said, no, I know exactly what I want to do. And he was like, what do you want to do? I explained it to him. He said, nobody's doing that. Why aren't you doing that? And I was like, I think I just figured out what I'm doing. Like it just like kind of came to me in that conversation. And then I started taking those steps and moving forward with that. I also think that had a lot to do with why we were able to grow so fast. I have a team now. There's 4 of us full time. Plus some independent contractors as well. And I think that happened because we were so specific about our offering. We do these specific things. And it really resonated with business owners who, you know, they know they need to have that book in hand. They know that will help them build their brand. They know that going out and speaking helps them land clients, but they don't have the time to do the speaking event applications or the research. They might even have a team, but everyone's busy, right? But when they have somebody who's specifically focusing on that aspect for them, it helps them start landing those speaking engagements, getting out there. We also do LinkedIn executive management. So most business owners also know they need to be posting on LinkedIn regularly. It's like a necessary evil. They might hate it. They have to be present on social media. And so we help with that as well. And I think it just really resonated with business owners who needed that type of service.
That's pretty cool what you're doing, because as a business leader, you're running your business. And so you really don't have the time to be doing the things that you're helping them basically offload so that they can focus on still running their business. And then, oh, they got a speaking engagement that's been scheduled for 6 weeks out. They can plan, but they're still busy running their business. And you're really augmenting their branding ability because, you know, myself, I'm new into this area because I've been in the corporate world. I just recently worked with a interpretation and translation company and helped them scale, but still I was stepped in as general manager, grew it, stepped out when it got acquired. Recently, I worked with a commercial flooring company, helped them get about over $1 million worth of bidding opportunities in 6 weeks. But the reality is, though, I haven't had time to work on building myself up as a brand. I've been focusing on the podcast, as we talked before we started recording. But there's other aspects that I need to work on. And so what you're doing is you're providing a service for people like myself that are entrepreneur transitioned into an entrepreneur type role that don't know what they don't know and don't know how to do what they don't know.
Right. Well, and like you mentioned, most business owners or, you know, people who are really, really busy, they're focused on the now. It's like, I got to do this today. I have to do this next week. Right. They're focused on that. Speaking engagements are often, if you're trying to book a speaking engagement, it might be 6 months away, right? So it's hard to be thinking that far ahead in the future when you're just in it right now and the, you know, the management, all the urgent things that are happening right now. But we are right now, the events that we're pitching our clients for are 6 months away. I mean, they might even be 9 months away. Some might happen sooner, but we're kind of doing that forward thinking, planning ahead for them so that when that is in the moment for them, they're ready to go. Yep. So yeah, I think that just really helps them. It's like every client that we have said, we know we need to be doing this. We just haven't had the time to focus on it. So then they can just, like you said, offload it to us. We pitch our clients, each client to 10 to 15 events per month. So out of that 10 to 15, we're hoping to book one out of the 10 to 15. That's kind of what industry standard, right? So you think about that too. You have to pitch yourself to 10 events to get booked on one of them, right? Like that's a lot of time that you would be spending putting together those pitches, getting that information. Some application forms are quick and easy. Some are really detailed. And so just juggling all of that, we just take that work off their plates for them and yeah, help them be ready when the time comes.
So do you guys create like the whole profile on their whole docket of what it is that they talk about, what's their background and all that stuff? Because that in itself takes a skill. Yeah. If you don't know how to do that, and I've spoken and gotten paid for some engagement, but those are events that people saw me years ago. I was running a networking group in Chicago and stuff. And somebody had a real estate event and they had a cancellation. They came up to me and says, "Hey, would you like to speak at our group? And we'll pay a few $100s. It wasn't big money, but still I got paid. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And I said, sure. But those don't happen every day.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when we start with a client, we start with really getting all the information out of them. Who's their target audience? What are their goals? What are the events that they always wanted to speak at, right? Like we pull all that information from them. Most of our clients have a topic they know that they can speak on. Usually they know kind of what they would speak about, but we help them develop three. I mean, it depends on the client. Sometimes it might be more, sometimes it might be less, but usually three presentation briefs. So like for you, Freddie, it would be like, these are the three kind of titles and descriptions of the talks that you would give, right? And then I work with those for specific events because an event might have a certain theme or certain topics they want covered. And so those presentation briefs just give us kind of a starting point of what we can use to pitch the client for. We put all that together for them. You mentioned the ghostwriting, so I'll bring that up as well. So we can also help them get that book in hand, right? So we can do that ghostwriting for them. In order to do that, we meet with them every week and we interview them weekly. So we outline the chapters in the book and then we take those meetings weekly to pull that information out of their brains. Well, you've written a book, so you know how to write a book, right? But a lot of times it's just like all that information is in their head, right? But it's like to sit down and actually do the work is the hard part. So we do the hard part for them, the heavy lifting for them, but the thoughts are all coming out of their head. We're just helping them organize it and make it clear in the delivery. But we help them with that so that when they're going out to speaking events, that it just helps them establish their credibility, their authority right on the topic. So when they're going out, there's just something about when you have that book, people see you as the expert, right? And as you know, you published a book a few years ago and that really helped in your path, right? In your career journey. So we help with that as well. And yeah, we also can kind of look back at any event that the client does. So if they go out and speak, we look at what topics are resonating, what topics are getting selected, which ones aren't. And then we can kind of make adjustments as we go forward to be more successful with those pitches that we're sending out there.
Yeah, you're right. Writing a book, the first book, I got some coaching on it. And they basically said, just toss down the ideas, just start tossing out the ideas. You'll get it organized later. But once I got a momentum going and I had what I was going after, it really started to become much easier. I'm working on a second book and I am working with a ghostwriter on it.
Oh, you are?
Yes. And we're doing similar things. We meet every so many weeks and do a 2-hour kind of question and answer conversation stuff. And it's going to be a little bit of a different style book. It's going to be a little bit more some of my life experiences and how those experiences, looking back, formulated some of my business acumen. And so we're going to be incorporating some of those things because I'm probably one of the few people you'll meet that's actually gone through Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin. So, I've gone
through
like that.
You have lots of fun stories that are fun or interesting. Maybe not fun, but interesting stories to share.
Yes, interesting. I've been in communist East Germany, Poland, and all those kind of things. So those are some stories in there, but I'm not going to give it away. I have to wait for the book. So let's talk about, Kelly, about one of your customers that came to you and share a story of how you've transformed them, where they were at, probably somebody in the beginning, not knowing they want to write a book. They got no clue what to do. They want to do some speaking, all that kind of stuff. What's the story? And today they're your super fan, which is now promoting how you've transformed them.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the story. I actually just had a meeting with a client yesterday that I left that meeting just like, this is exactly why I'm doing this work. So fun when you work with a client who just loves you and your team and what you're doing for them. So I have a client. I didn't know him when he first reached out. He's been a client of mine since the first month I started my business. He were in a shared community and he posted on there, is there anyone out there that helps with getting speaking events? And so that was our first interaction. I raised my hand. Yes, I can help with that. And really, he was part of what helped me kind of create my services. I had him as the kind of the starting point of like, okay, I'm talking to him, finding out what he needs, right? And then I'm creating a service package to help him. Then I realized how well that worked and I started using that same package for other clients. So he was really like my very first client in this business. And like I said, didn't know him at all, right? And yesterday we met, you could see I am a smiley person. I always have a smiling face. He is very stone-faced. I can never really read him, right? And so there are times where he is down to business. Like we start that meeting and it's like, we just jump right in. Like there's no, how are you doing?
I know a guy like that.
Right. Totally fine. But I'm just used to those interactions with him, right? Yesterday, met with him. And at the end of our call, he was just like, I am so excited. I was telling somebody about you the other day. And this is why I love this team so much. And he was just going on and on.
He's a super fan.
He was. Yes. When you said
He's
that, I was like,
fan.
That is exactly who I thought it. So he told me there was somebody else in our same community who was asking about me. He told me he put in a good word for us. We do this speaker elevation plan with him, that package that I created. And yesterday he was asking me about ghostwriting and our service there because he might want to now use that service as well. So potentially growing into more services with him, but then also just hearing that he recommended me to someone and just hearing his praises for what we do. Like I said, I just left that call just like, this is exactly why I'm doing this. I want people to feel the value of what we're bringing them and to be so happy with it that they want to share that with somebody else.
Yeah, what you just did is you created what I call a business superfan. You know, brand advocate's cool, but business superfan is the bomb. And when you create that superfan aspect, it's for lifetime. I'll use a simple example that you'll laugh about, but look at the Chicago Cubs, okay? You know, they've had super fans of the Cubs for decades. They finally did win a World Series. But for decades, they had those super fans that believed in the Cubs. They championed the Cubs. And finally, the Cubs delivered on that momentum. So what you're doing is you're transforming people, business owners, into super fans of what you're doing. And you can't buy that kind of PR because it's genuine. It's authentic. Right. And it's contagious.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A lot of the business we've brought in so far has been referral-based. People who knew me in my career, they knew me through different things, and they would recommend me to people. Oh, you should talk to Kelly. She's on her own now. And that has been great. But I'm really interested to see how this next wave goes. That, you know, we're still fairly new in this business. But I imagine now, over time, the clients that we are turning into those super fans are going to help us catapult that even more, because they're going to tell anyone they're talking to, they're going to tell them how we helped them write their book, or they're going to these speaking events and how they were able to build that speaking platform because of the team that they have supporting them. So yeah, I'm anxious to see how that works in our business, but I definitely believe in that power of those business super fans, because when they benefit from what you're providing them, they want to tell people about it. And that is priceless.
Yeah, they're your champions. And you've helped them become successful, whatever it is. And that's where businesses kind of get it wrong. You empower your employees, your team. They're empowered because you want them to be successful. They're going to tell everybody what a great company they're working at, what a great leader they're dealing with. And that energy carries on when they're talking to prospective customers. Okay, you can tell whether someone is happy about where they're at or if they're just going through the motion because it's a job, right?
Yeah.
So your team are super fans of your leadership. Now they're communicating in an energized, positive way to the clients that you've got. And that just keeps snowballing, and it just creates a positive energy that becomes contagious, and everybody wants to be part of the party.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm seeing that. My team, I was able to hire a couple of people that had also lost their jobs in our previous company. So we'd worked together for years. We had a great relationship. I had been their leader there. And so nothing changed. A lot of things changed. We still had that dynamic that we had had for a long time. They had to learn how to work with a couple of thought leaders to like working thought leaders and navigating that. But they get genuinely excited about the successes that we have as a company. Every new client that we bring on, they're genuinely excited. They're not like, more work I have to do, right? They're thrilled. We had a couple of client meetings yesterday, and one of my team members messaged me after, was just like, I love her. So excited about the clients that we're working with. Genuinely excited about the client's success. We want them to succeed, but my team just gets really excited when we have those wins for our clients. So I think that a lot of that does come from, it's their innate nature, I would say. They're good workers who are authentic and excited about their work. But that can get really, when you're in like a corporate environment where the culture is just not an exciting culture of we celebrate wins and just do your job, right?
And companies miss that by like a galaxy, because I remember years ago, back in the late 90s, I was in charge of global sales for a software product. It was a manufacturing product, a computed manufacturing software. And I coined the term machining intelligence back in 97. I was tasked with, here's a product, nobody knows about it, do your stuff. And so I set up 60 resellers around the world, and we grew it to about 3 million net to us in a short amount of time, 3-year window. Which back then, internet was brand new and all that kind of stuff. So still a lot of old school, a lot of travel and flying out to meet with publishers so that they would write a story in a trade magazine and all that stuff. But once we started hitting sales, I remember once we hit 50,000 a month in sales, I brought everybody into the conference room and we celebrated. And I brought in the software programmers, everybody. because I wanted everybody to feel that win and that W. When we hit 150,000, I remember I had everybody come in, important meeting, 15 minutes. I had food catered in and some champagne bottles and everything else. Nobody knew it. Even the owner of the company didn't know it. I didn't ask permission. I just did it. And everybody was super excited because it was like, wow, we did this. And it was a whole team effort. So I would just reemphasize what you're doing is it's a whole team effort and everybody enjoys that. And that's fulfilling. And that's where I think a lot of large corporate companies lose the fulfillment aspect of their team being fulfilled in what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a part of it that is their nature. Like I said, the team members that I have, I'm not going to take credit for their excitement. But at the same time, I saw in a corporate environment where that just got, it just really, I don't know, it was very different. Over time in that corporate environment, everyone was just really losing their steam. They were just like, you know, you want to be excited and it just keeps getting, they just kind of keep getting squashed down. And, you know, and now I see what a difference it is when everyone feels like they're contributing to that win. Everyone feels like they're being acknowledged when they're a part of it. They just feel like they're valuable to the team.
Right. Well, one of my quotes in my book is people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition. Think about it.
Yeah.
And it's not given enough.
Yeah.
And we need it. Hey, John or Lucy, thanks for the extra effort and going the extra mile in that project. I know that you worked late hours and all that stuff. You know what? Take Friday off. We'll see you on Monday. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Those are the little things, but really in that person's mind, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And of course you have chump change.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's really just acknowledging people and the contributions that they bring and appreciating them for it.
Yeah. And then what you're doing is also, as I want to emphasize, is that think of a racing rowboat. Okay. Everybody's got a single oar. It's not you got two oars, you know, a hand on each oar. You got one oar. You got to get everybody in line to be rowing in synchronization and in a direction. Otherwise, that boat's going no place. It's not even going in a circle because everybody's got an individual oar. So if everybody's combobulated, the thing is going like this and going no place. And so when you get everybody on the mission, which is your mission, is to really help business owners level up their game with speaking and book writing and all that stuff, that's the mission. That's the direction. And so everybody's empowered. And now your boat's going to fly through the water.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are the services that you provide? I know that you do some outsource marketing and some workshop marketing and stuff like that. What are some of your things that you guys do?
Yeah. So I mentioned the speaker elevation plan. So that's kind of our base package. So it includes three things: booking speaking events, booking podcasts, and LinkedIn management. I like those three together because to me, it's kind of a flywheel. The more you're doing the podcast, you're getting clips of that, you're sharing those on your LinkedIn. That's helping establish your credibility. We can also create different content pieces that aren't just clips from the podcast, but quotes. We can take things that you say and turn it into great posts, those kinds of things. And then all of that's helping establish your platform that when we're pitching you for speaking events, then people can see all of that on your LinkedIn. It just helps establish you as people can see that online. So we do those three things together. We customize that based on certain clients because some may want to do their own LinkedIn, for example, and so we can customize it. But that's kind of our base package. In addition to that, we do the ghostwriting. So we help with ghostwriting that book, getting that book in hand. And then we do workshops. So that's one of the things we started with. I mentioned that I was able to hire a couple of my team members who also lost their jobs. And we had somebody come to us who wanted us to help them develop a marketing plan. And so we said, you know what, why don't we turn this annual practice that we had every year where we would get together as a team and we would look back at the previous year and we would look forward to the coming year and say, you know, what's working, what's not working, what do we want to pursue this next year? That's how we would refine our marketing plan every year. And we decided to turn that into a workshop that we do now with other companies to help them develop their own marketing plan. A lot of the plan that we put together for companies or for business owners is based around thought leadership. So I always tell people that before we even get to that point, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm biased on thought leadership marketing. So if you're not interested in thought leadership marketing, doing a workshop with us is probably not a good idea, because that will kind of be where we focus our efforts. But yeah, we love those workshops. It's 2 hours. We spend that 2 hours digging in with the business owner, asking them lots of questions, getting a lot of information out of them. And then we come back 2 or 3 weeks later and we present the marketing plan to them. And a lot of it's actually coming out of their own heads, but it's kind of one of those things that it's like they know their audience, they know what they should be doing, but a lot of times they struggle to actually take the steps they need to take.
Life gets in the way.
Yep.
Life gets in the way.
We help organize that into here are the specific tactics for each phase of the marketing funnel to reach your target audience and convert those leads. So again, we love those workshops, but we don't do those as much as the speaker elevation plan. That's kind of our core package. But yeah, that's kind of the range of services we offer. We're also right now kind of structuring a round table. I don't have a name for it yet, Freddie, but a round table service where a lot of business owners know that the more networking they do, the more connecting with people in their space, it generally helps turn into leads for their business. You know, the more you're going out there and meeting people and connecting with people, either they're interested in what you're offering or they know somebody who they can connect you with. And so a lot of business owners now are doing these roundtables where they're proactively asking people to meet and kind of creating this networking event. And so we're actually kind of systemized that, and we're helping a couple of our clients with proactively creating those roundtables for their business. So it's another kind of service area that we don't have on our website yet, but we're starting to systemize so that we can start offering that more publicly.
Well, that's a great idea. I've put together a virtual networking group, and I've put a pause on it because I'm kind of retooling some things, but it makes a big difference. I used to run a networking group in Chicago, and it was on Lincoln Avenue, downtown Chicago, Rinaldi's Pizzeria, and there's no parking. And I used to get 45 people to show up for a business networking luncheon. My whole marketing aspect was, it was a place that they could network and et cetera, but it was the only place that somebody could walk away with the profit. And so I would give away a gift card out of everybody that attended. We draw business cards out of a bowl, and somebody would win a $25 gift card. And so it was a $10 profit on going to lunch. It was the only place you could get a free lunch and walk out with the profit. And that was my whole marketing gig, but it worked. So a lot of people made connections, and we would have a speaker that would speak on something. And the rule was, you're not supposed to be selling. If you are, a Yankee off the stage. But the thing was, provide some value, demonstrate that you're the expert, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yep. That's thought leadership in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. So it's been an excellent conversation, Kelly. How can people find you?
Yeah. So on my website, so 2milehighmarketing.com is the website. There's actually an assessment that you can take. So if you're interested in thought leadership, kind of wondering where you stand as a thought leader, how mature you are as a thought leader, we have an assessment that you can take, and it will help you understand kind of where you fall and what areas that you might want to work on. So that's available on our website. It's free. It's just an online assessment that you can take. And LinkedIn is another place to connect with me. I am a frequent poster on LinkedIn, as I tell my clients to post 2 to 3 times a week on LinkedIn. So I have to practice what I preach and do the same. So love connecting with people on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, we'll definitely make that available into the show notes for our listeners. And really want to thank you for your time today and very engaging, thought-provoking conversation for our listeners. And we definitely would love to have you on the show down the road, because I'm sure you and I could talk on this stuff for hours.
I think so. Thanks for having me on, Freddie. It was fun.
Before we wrap, here's your quick debrief. Each episode in this 9-part series zooms in on one powerful pillar of my Superfans framework. 9 proven steps designed to turn your business from a flicker of potential into unstoppable, scalable prosperity. The pillars are S, strategize, U, unite, P, propel, E, elevate, R, rally, F, finance, A, automate, N, nurture, S, sustain. Each week, we spotlight one pillar, extract a game-changing insight from today's guest, and close with your superfan success spark, a bold 24-hour action you can take immediately to move your business forward. Follow along through all 9 episodes, collect each spark, and you'll have a step-by-step playbook to create superfans who fuel rave reviews, rocking referrals, and rising revenue. Then we reset the cycle with 9 brand new sparks, fresh guests, and even more strategies to help you scale with clarity, purpose, and unstoppable momentum. Ready? Here's this episode's spark. Superfan Success Spark. S, strategize. Clarify mission, values, business model, and exit vision. So here's a top insight. I was specific about our offering, and I think that had a lot to do with why we were able to grow so fast. Kelly. So here's your action step to do in the next 24 hours. List the 1 or 2 most specific problems your business solves better than anybody else, then upgrade your website or LinkedIn headline to reflect that clarity.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.